All righty. Good morning.
Good morning.
God is good.
All the time.
And all the time.
God is good.
Alabama, not the state, the band, had a song many years ago with the lyrics, I'm in a hurry to get things done. I rush and rush until life's no fun. All I really got to do is live and die, but I'm in a hurry and don't know why. Anybody heard that before? Probably sang that. That's a good song. I'm not going to do it. Maybe one day. Not today. It is this song describing the way we approach this common commodity that is shared amongst all of us, and that is this thing called time. And time is this thing that we all share, and it's something that we can't save it, we can't retrieve it, we can't relive it, we can't stretch it out or borrow it or loan it or stop it or store it, but we can only use it or lose it. That's one of my favorite sayings. You better use it or lose it. And that's what time is for us today. So what we're going to kind of talk about this morning is if you only knew the truth about time. If you only knew the truth about time, how differently would you live your life today, tomorrow? I think a lot of us live with this kind of clock inside of us that is always ticking, tick, tick, tick. The problem is we all want it to tick backwards, but it's always ticking forward and we're losing time. There's a couple sayings that I've heard throughout my life, and as a parent, I heard this often. The days are long, but the years are short. Anybody said that before? And the older my kids get, the more I realize the truth in that. The days are so very long. They're long days. But yet, when you reflect, the years just feel like they're just flying by. Or my other favorite statement that I say about every day is, where has the time gone? You know, like, wait a minute, it was just 7 o'clock, how can it be 11 o'clock already? How can 5 hours just disappear so fast? Anybody feel like that sometimes? It's like we're always in this rat race trying to live for the moment, but yet the moment is slipping and fading away before we even know it, and then it's gone. And we're just wondering, like, where did it go? Time has flown by so fast. And I know that I'm young in age, but the wisdom has been passed down from generations and generations that have said that these words to be true, that where has the time gone? And if they could do it again, they would do things way different. That's kind of the premise of this collection of talks. So if you only knew the truth about time, and I don't mean time as in just this broad approach, which we will talk about a broad approach of time, but we're going to get very specific in application this morning. Whether you're a male or female, mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, just aunt, uncle, wherever you are in life, this message is one that you will need to hear. So we're going to spend a good portion of time at this beginning really talking about a couple key principles, and then we'll get to the application. But we're going to read two passages. And in these two passages, they are different in approach. They are different meanings of time that we will talk about. And the first one is one that is probably one of the most known pieces of Scripture in the Bible, yet I don't think I've ever heard a sermon preached on it, if I'm being completely honest. This piece of Scripture has been on the Billboard Top 100 for like ever. For a long time, it reigned because someone took it and turned it into a popular song. But it's in Ecclesiastes 3, and we'll read 1 through 8. So if you will stand for God's word. And it says, for everything there is a season, and a time for every matter under heaven. A time to be born, and a time to die. A time to plant, and a time to pluck up what has been planted. A time to kill, and a time to heal. A time to break down, and a time to build up. A time to weep, and a time to laugh. A time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to seek, and a time to lose. A time to keep, and a time to cast away. A time to tear, and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. God, I thank you for this wisdom, that this profound writing can elevate us to an understanding of the way you operate and how, Lord, you are in so much control. Lord, allow us to be a people today that postures ourselves in right worship and understanding, knowing that you are sovereign, that you hold everything in your hands. And Lord, we get to live in that freedom of you being in control. So Lord, today, add your blessing to this reading of your word and those that will follow. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. So as we do a quick contextual study on this, we can't read this like we would read one of Paul's letters. This is not prescriptive, which we will talk about a prescriptive text here in a minute. This is a descriptive text. This is what would be considered almost like a journal entry into King Solomon's journal. I mean, King Solomon, we've heard that name before, right? We've talked about him a little bit. If you actually look at his life, it is fascinating. It is remarkable. This is probably the most powerful person in just complete human form that has ever lived outside of Jesus. The amount of power and authority that he had under his kingdom is unmatched in all throughout history. And they say that he is the wealthiest man that has ever lived, which is kind of a cool thing to have, right? And it says in today's economy, well, this is 2021 economy, so probably a little bit more, his wealth would be over $2.6 trillion. Could you imagine? So when you read his kind of writings, his journal entries, his way of doing things, you see his life. He always is writing about what is the meaning of life? What is the purpose? Why are we here? Why are we doing this thing and breathing this air and breathing it out? Like, what is the whole meaning of this thing that we're doing? And he kind of sums it up and says, all what? Meaningless. It's all vanity. It's all, what are we doing? We're here today and gone tomorrow. But then he drops this journal entry, if you would, of this just poetic art, where he gives these contrasting ideas, and it's actually called a merismus, which is, it describes two parts of the same thing, but in opposites. And the only way that I can really describe it is with this photo. This is two people on a roller coaster going through the same experience, yet one person's like, hey, this is so much fun. And then the girl's like, I'm going to die. This is it. The Lord's calling me home. And if you've been on a roller coaster, you know that there are two types of people. There's the guy on the left and the girl on the right. Now I'll let you figure out who you are in this. But this is the way the writing is, where he's saying there's these beautiful things which is contrasted to these other things that would be opposite, would be just considered contrasting, and in some cases complementing parts made to stand in for the whole. So he's taking this idea of time, and he's saying that there's a time for this and a time for that. A time for love, a time for hate, a time for all of these things. Now you can misuse this. Where he says a time to kill, that doesn't mean you kill the person that stole your parking spot at Walmart, okay? That doesn't mean that you, like, throw out that hate because there's a time for it, right? No, this is in wisdom writing things for us to understand as descriptive text, not prescriptive. You don't take this and be like, yeah, I'm going to do it. Today's the day. Today's the time that I'm going to get my revenge. That's not what the text is saying. It's wisdom being passed down. So we have to look at it just slightly different. So the second passage then comes from Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 and 17. And you'll see the word time again, but they're different. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. So this is prescriptive. This is one of those texts that says, hey, watch how you walk. Watch what you're doing. The days are evil and they're going to try to take everything from you. So don't walk as a foolish man, just wandering through, giving carelessly to everything that flows in front of you. No, be wise in your walk and walk in such a way to redeem the time. So if you only knew the truth about time, we would be able to understand the best way to live our lives. The Oxford Dictionary defines time as the indefinite continued progress of existence. But the Greeks had two other words for time. We sum up time in one word, but they broke it down into two different variations. One chronos and the other one kairos. Chronos, one with a C, is the measure of quantitative time or an exact time. So what this looks like is the watch that you're wearing, the clock on your phone, the clock you have in your house, the one that goes tick, tick, tick every time a second goes by. It's the measured time of your life. We've been given 24 hours in a day, 168 hours in a week. That is chronos time. The root word for chronological is chronos. That's where we get our word chronological, because it's this consistent flow of time. And a lot of us live our lives by chronos. We live it in this, we have this plan, we have this plan, we have this plan, and we're going to celebrate. We're constantly living by our schedule rather than living in the moment. So chronos is actually mentioned 53 times in the Bible. A few examples are Matthew 2:7 says, "Then Herod secretly called the Magi and determined from them the exact time the star appeared." And then John 7:33, "Therefore Jesus said, 'For a little while longer I am with you, then I go to him who sent me.'" He's using time, chronos time. And then Galatians 4:4, when he said, "But when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his son, born of a woman under the law." This is chronos time, measured time. That's not where time ends. The other one is kairos. Kairos is defined as the right time or the opportune time. The context in this time is mentioned 87 times in the Bible. And if you do look at the original language, it'll give you a headache trying to kids, but you'll see that word, kairos, the way it is written is so unique that it just stands out on the paper every time it's there. And I think that's just like our eyesight's knowing how opportune the right time is for us to be in God's word. So we see a couple examples in Matthew 8:29 and says, "And they cried out saying, 'What business do we have with each other, sons of God? Have you come here to torment us before the time?'" Or John 5:4, "For an angel of the Lord went down at a certain season into the pool and stirred up the water. Whoever then first, after the stirring upon the water, stepped in was made well from whatever disease with which he was afflicted." We see that season. And then Romans 5:6, "For while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly." So you see that it's this moment. It's these special instances in time that kairos is clear. So there is a difference in the two. Chronos is, hey, is my alarm clock going to go off at 5:30 a.m.? And I pray it doesn't. I'm not a morning guy, so just so you know, not that you need to know. Or do I have an appointment at 9 a.m.? How much time is left in a meeting? You've been in those meetings where you're just counting down. It's like, and then it goes by so slow. You're just watching the clock. I remember I used to get in trouble a lot in school. Shocking, I know. And I would be in detention or the in-school suspension thing all the time. They did it a little differently back then. You were in this room and I don't know what. I think it was a torture device where they put the clock right in front of you. So you're there for 8 hours and you're just watching the clock. And it is the longest hours of your entire life. Anybody been there? You know what I'm talking about? When you're just so desperately not wanting to be somewhere and the clock is just ticking, ticking, ticking. That is chronos time. Some people are yeah, get on. Okay, moving on. And each day we have an opportunity to wake up and live the day according to either our own schedules or according to the will and plan of God. But often our schedules dictate. How many parents know that your children dictate your schedule? Nobody. Okay, it's going to be like that. Well, for us, our children like to dictate our schedule. When we wake up, when we go to bed, when they eat, when I eat, how we do it. It's like the power of family, right? Is they control so much of our time. But yet, we are called to redeem the time, to watch the time, to be careful of how we walk, to always be doing something that will last, always be stretching forwards towards the prize, as Philippians 3 talks about. It will soon be ours, and the Lord is at hand. It is our prize that we labor here, and we sow, knowing that our days are numbered and short. So my aim today is to keep this pretty brief, keep it pretty short. That's my gift. You're welcome. And we're going to kind of center the next little portion around three words: time, moments, milestones. Now, maybe you've heard this taught before. Maybe you've seen other teachings of the sorts. But we can kind of break it down in these three forms. The first one is time. Time is, if you're taking notes, the "if you only knew" statement is if you only knew to make the most of time. And I put the word plan with it, because to make the most use of time, we have to plan. We have to act accordingly to this. And then when you see this statement, think chronos time. Think about the 160 hours you're given a week. Plan those accordingly, not to bend around sports schedules, to bend around work schedules, to bend around, but to be intentional about setting rhythms that will draw you nearer and closer to God, and allow the Holy Spirit to do great things through you. It's creating that rhythm in there. Do you ever look around at your friends and think, wow, that person gets more done in a day than I get done in like a month? There are people in here that I look at and I'm like, I don't know how you have the energy. I'm half your age and I'm dying. Like, you might look at somebody at work and you're like a rabbit. You're just going like the Energizer Bunny, just beating around. Like, I can do everything all day long. Like, I can't fathom enough energy to barely get out of bed most mornings, let alone, like, these people are up at 4 a.m. I've already done so much. And I'm like, yeah, good job. Proud of you. Like, wake me up when the sun goes down. Like, that's my time. But, like, we know those people that just seem to get everything done. And we look and we're like, how are you doing it? Energy drinks. That's how they're doing it. Or coffee. So how can we best use our time? We have to plan. So Ephesians 5, 15 through 16, God uses Paul to give the Ephesians the instruction to look carefully how you walk. Look carefully at how you spend your time. Look carefully at how you spend your money. Look carefully how you're engaging in the world in the way that you're like conducting yourselves. And he says, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of time. How many would say, I make the best use of time? Like my schedule, like if you're a type A-er, you probably do. Congrats. I'm not. Most of the world would say we do not make best use of our time. How easy is it for us to get in that scroll mode, where we just hop on a device and we're just entertained, we're just scrolling and scrolling and scrolling. iPhone, if you guys have an iPhone, I don't know if Android does this, but iPhone does this thing where they give you a weekly report of how much time you've been on your device. And for most weeks, it makes me depressed. And I like to justify, well, I'm just watching sermons, I'm just listening and researching. That's mostly true. Mostly. But hey, I got the notification that my time was down 68% today from last week. I know. You should clap. That's good stuff. Don't clap. I'm kidding. I was making the most use of my time, okay? But look carefully how you walk. Imagine if we didn't cater to our schedules, but we planned accordingly to be open and willing to be used by God. Like, how many times have you heard the Holy Spirit like nudge you and say, hey, you really should do this thing. You really need to help this person. You really need to go talk to them. And you're like, ain't going to happen, Holy Spirit. I got to be somewhere in 5 minutes. Countless times that has happened to me where I'm like, I don't have time for this, God. Like, I have other things that need to happen right now. And yet, sadly, what do I bend to? My schedule, rather than the Holy Spirit. Not making the best use of our time. Parents, how many times do we stick devices or our children in front of TVs? We are really bad at family discipleship. Like, really bad, and I'm guilty of it too. It is easier to let the devices parent than us parent. That's why some say the greatest generation, we wouldn't do that. I don't know, maybe you would. But it's difficult, right? But we have to make the best use of our time. When you think you're given 24 hours in a day, that's not a lot of time. When you're saying you might spend 5 or 6 hours asleep, I know how it really is. Who gets 8? Don't raise your hand. We will hate you. This will be the time to hate right here, right? But like most of us only get 5 to 8 hours of sleep. We'll be generous. Most of us get like 5 or 6. So then you've got like, I don't know, I can't math right now. It's like 18 hours left of your day. And then you spend 8 hours of it at work. Think about that, parents. That's 8 hours away from your children. Like, it is the worst thing in our society that we go to work and then we get like 3 hours with our children. Who's really parenting our kids? The school system. The daycare. The babysit. That's who's really raising your children. So that's why when we say make the best use of your time, parents, you have to be so intentional about the brief time that you get with them, because you only get 18 summers, 18 Christmases, only 18 spring break. And I'm telling you, as a parent who's got a daughter who's 9 and my son's turning, it makes me want to cry to think about the time that I've wasted being on my phone or being in work. Like, it just makes me sick almost to think that I did not make the best use of my time. So here's my warning. Make the best use of your time. Now thinking you're like, we don't have kids anymore. We're grandparents. Or we don't have kids at all. Find ways to serve. Find ways to find that fulfillment. Find ways to not just scroll. Not just waste the time. Because you will look back at one point and be like, man, where did my life go? Where did it go? So make the most use of your time. Christians, we live in this already and not yet. It's a statement you've probably heard or will hear at some point. For example, Scripture speaks of people who are saved now, who are being saved as we become more like Christ in this life, and those who will be saved on that great and glorious day when He returns. See, we live in a world that sin has come in and infiltrated our lives. And what we know about sin is it wants to rob you of everything you have. Not just steal your money, not just steal your family, but it wants to rob your time. It wants to pull you away, because how do you show devotion? By giving time. Isn't that like a love language, quality time? Like we serve our God by saying, God, here I am. I want to draw near. I want to spend time with you. And guess what? He wants to spend time with you. So don't let your sin rule your life, but make the most of your time by planning accordingly with spiritual disciplines. By putting in rhythms and practices as you live in this already, but not yet. Glorification will come, but it's not yet. We are still being sanctified. We are still being in this process of discipleship day after day, and we have to make the most of it. The second statement is, if you only knew to leverage every moment. If you only knew to leverage every moment. And I've kind of added the word prioritize. Because what you prioritize will get your most time. Whether that is work, whether that is shopping, whether that is tending to your yard, whether that is caring for your family. Whatever you prioritize is what's going to get your time. So here's the warning. Leverage every moment. This is where Kairos lives. Capture moments and leverage opportunities in everyday life for true purpose to helping others come to know who Jesus is. I like the way it's written in Psalm 90:12. So teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. Like, wouldn't it be so much easier in life if we all had this little thing above our head that says 3,940 days. Like, wouldn't it be great if you knew the exact number of days you had left? Because then you could really plan. You could really act accordingly. But guess what? None of us have that ticker above our head. But there's a ticker going, and we would choose to not leverage the moments, not leverage those special times that we are given. But this passage says, teach us to number our, teach us, show us, allow us to just kind of be in this embrace where we know that our time is not unlimited. Today is a very difficult day for a lot of people. And I'm telling you, the amount of money that people would give to just spend 5 more minutes with their moms. And yet, while we're living, we don't want to leverage the moments we have. We don't want to take advantage of this beautiful gift that God has given us in time to make a phone call, to send a text, to drive across town and spend 5 minutes. And I'm telling you, I'm guilty of this. But we have to learn to leverage the moments. Because I don't know about you, but I don't know what tomorrow holds. I don't know what an hour from now holds. None of us are this kind of, we're not Jesus. We're not in the know of what eternity looks like, what our path, like, we're not from the beginning to the end. But He is and He knows, but we do not know. So we need to learn to leverage the moments. So what does that mean? So kairos, the word kairos, is also really, really good translated into opportunity. So when you think of time as an opportunity, doesn't that start to shift you from thinking about the day as a schedule and thinking about it, oh man, what can God do today? What can I do for Him today? What do I need to be attentive to? What can I be awake to? What can I be alive to today to see what God is going to do? Rather than trying to fill your schedules so full. It reminds me of the story of Martha and Mary. Like, true and through. I mean, you read the story in Luke 10, and what we see is Jesus and His crew are coming into town, and they go to Mary and Martha's house. Now, this isn't just Jesus by Himself and you got to cook a meal for Him. Like, it's like a lot of people that are with Him. So Martha is doing the Martha thing, which is what? Running around like a chicken with her head cut off, trying to get food ready, trying to clean the house, trying to make sure there's places for everybody to lay and sit. Like, she's running around frantically. And what is Mary doing? See, Mary gets a bad rap sometimes, right? But what is Mary doing? She's at the feet of Jesus, leveraging the moment, understanding that the Son of God is right here. Forget the cleaning. Do you know who's here? Forget the food. Like, how many of us are Martha? Like, I'm Martha. I'll be honest. Like, I got a clean house, cook the food. Like, I'm going to run around and make sure everybody's taken care of. Hospitality is like one of my spiritual giftings. It's awful. I do. I run day and night. I don't stop. It's dumb. And some of you know what that's like. We need to learn to be more like Mary. And say, guess what? It can wait. Because the King of Kings is here. So the word is better translated opportunity. And it's this fixated, definite period of time which something can be accomplished that cannot be accomplished once time has passed. You know, this life we live, you know, that YOLO, you only live once. Well, Creed, we get to live twice. And are we really going to leverage that moment? Are we really going to take advantage of it? Are we going to seize the day? Are we going to actually live? There's writings in ancient writings that when ships would come into port, it wasn't like they had great technology where they had radios. Hey, it's time to come in. Like, you know, they weren't doing that. But like these ships, the captains of the ships would have to wait and precisely leverage the tide for them to come in and dock and unload and then get back out in the water before, you know, chaos happened and they were stuck. Because, you know, anybody ever been to the ocean where the water is not there? No, nobody? Why are we a bunch of liars? Raise your hand, people. Wake up. So we went to the beach one day. in South Carolina. South Carolina, that's what it was. And the locals are like, hey, you got to go to this beach. It's like the best beach here. Nobody's there. So we went. We're like, hey, this is going to be fun. We get there. Guess what? There's no water. So there was water. I take that back. It was about a mile away. So what did we do? We're like, well, we want the water. So we go traipsing out. Boop, 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 boop. And what happens is about so far out, the hard ground turns into not hard. And you sink. It's the closest thing to quicksand that I could ever encounter, I think. And then, like, I think we went about that the next day, and the water was right back to the front. So these ships would have to time perfectly the tide so that way they could dock. And there was this word in Latin that they would use. It was called opportune. Opportune. It's kind of fun, right? Because that's where we get the word opportune. Come on, people. Come on. Be awake. Okay, you don't like that analogy? Here's another one. So imagine your life is like a bank account. And every day you are deposited $86,400. $86,400. I'm telling you, you're going to have one heck of a day. But here's the thing. It doesn't roll over. And at the end of the day, they wipe it clean every day. What would you do? You would either spend it like you ain't never spent money before, or you would pull it out and leverage it, right? You would do anything you can. Well, let's have a little secret. 86,400 is how many seconds you get in a day. So you can either choose to leverage them and spend them so well, or you can watch them just get washed away at the end of the day. The choice is yours. The third one is if you only knew to create and mark milestones. If you only knew to create and mark milestones. Milestones are fun, and it's what we've kind of placed pace and party. Because nobody wants to pace for a long time without there being some sort of celebration at the end, right? I had to do party because it's a P. There's four P's. Okay. Inside to the way my brain works. So this, milestones, is what happens when we put chronos and kairos together. When we work as Christians to align the times together, what we see are these beautiful milestone moments in time. So milestones, what are they? Their birthdays, their anniversaries, their graduations, their baptisms that we celebrate, their baby dedications that we have one coming up here at the end of the month, their weddings, their recitals, their passing a test, their sports moments where they get those awards. It's anything that they've been, like, somebody's working and pacing themselves to earn, to get, to achieve, and then achieving it. It's a milestone moment, and we see it when they come together. I was kind of letting my brain run a little wild when I was envisioning what this kind of looks like in my brain, because I'm weird. And what it looked like for me as I was processing this was I pictured a house. And I pictured that like time is the foundation, the shell of the house, and moments are the walls of the house, and then milestones are the photos on the wall. And it's those things that you get to look back and be like, yeah, remember that at Christmas, at Easter, when the word's escaping me. Family reunions, there it is. Whenever you get together with people that you haven't seen for a while and you reminisce about those fun moments. The movie Inside Out. Anybody ever seen the movie Inside Out? I think they portray it pretty cool. The movie takes place, if you haven't seen it, inside this girl's head. It's like dealing with her emotions. Anyway, there's like this control panel. But there's this thing that they can do where they take these like balls that are different colors, and they put them in this thing, and it like plays memories in her head. And then there's these yellow ones that are really, really special. And they call them core memories. So they would take them and they would put it, and I think one of the scenes was like the girl scoring her first hockey goal. And like the dad cheering, and like all these like beautiful moments. And like what happens is like these core moments become milestones that we look back on and we remember and reflect. Days like today where we look back on our moms, maybe that have passed, where we honor and celebrate the life and legacy that they lived. But yet, the ones that are still here, we leverage the moment to honor and celebrate, making the most use of our time. So what will you do with the most use of your time? Ben, you guys can come on up. Told you I was keeping it short. So if you only knew the truth about time, you'd be present. There's a spoken word. I'm not going to go in super detail about it, but it's called Be Present, and it's by a guy named Propaganda. And he's going through and he's talking about how he's addicted to his phone and he's always trying to craft these moments in his head that he can tweet or put in Instagram because that's the way the world works, which is so dumb. That's the way the world works. So he's crafting this idea, and his wife on the other side of the table is getting mad at him and mad at him and mad at him, like, you're not even here, you're not even listening. So he goes to his father, who's been divorced 5 times, father, who's trying to get sympathy, like, hey, give me some love, like, this woman's being crazy, right? Like, she's just being mean to me because I'm trying to play with my phone. And what happens is he starts describing what it was like when he was in war. And now it was like walking through a minefield and explosions going off left and right. And he said, that's pretty much what time is like. Time is constantly going and exploding by, but whenever you're so focused on your device, you're so focused on the specific thing, what happens is you miss the moments around you. And at the end of it, he says, well, I guess I've been through a divorce. And he says, me and my phone are no longer married. I thought that was kind of cool. Nobody? Okay. If you only knew the truth about time, you'd be present. You'd make every effort to make the most use of your time, to leverage every moment, and to mark and celebrate those milestones. How many of you guys would say that you make the most use of your time, that you leverage the moments, and that you mark and celebrate milestones? It doesn't have to be just the ones that are just built into the calendar, like birthdays and anniversaries or holidays. One pastor that I kind of look up to, he talks about it when their kids get to 13 years old, they rally the core people around them and some of their friends, and they put them kind of in the middle, and they speak life into them. And they say, you're really good at this. God is really using you for this. God has gifted you with this ability. And they use it as a milestone moment to build them up. And I think about how that would play out in the house. Like, think about that. The foundation gets, you know, even more sturdy. The moment that they are living in, man, imagine how that would feel if somebody around you would speak life into you. Or imagine the new paintings on the wall written, God loves you, and, you know, whatever. Like, imagine what that would look like. So make and mark and create milestone moments. Let's pray. God, I thank you for today. I thank you for just your great love for us. Lord, that while we were still sinners, while we were still just doing the wicked and vile things of our flesh, Lord, you looked down and you saw us. You gave us a name. You gave us your love. And you sent your Son to redeem us, to restore us. Not only that that's where it leads, but Lord, that you sanctify us. That you do work inside of us, that we can look back over our lifetime, our chronos time, and say, yeah, I'm not where I was, and it's because of the Lord, Yahweh. Where we can then look and say, I'm going to leverage the moments. I'm going to take advantage of Kairos time. I'm going to allow that to be what guides me in this life of time. That I'm looking for that opportune time. Lord, that we can serve you. That we can be awake and alive to what you're doing in and around us. Lord, thank you for doing what only you could do. Thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for looking at our sin, atoning for our sin, and wiping it clean. Thank you for the hard work of purification, that refinement that takes place day after day, Lord, because ultimately we want to be more like Jesus. So God, continue to work in us today as we worship you. Allow us to make the most use of time. Allow us to leverage the moments. allow us to mark and celebrate milestones. Lord, allow us to be present and understand the truth about time. Lord, thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.